Dr. K. Subramanian, 1928-1998. K. Subramanian's genuine love and devotion, insight, compassion, and selflessness formed a vortex that drew hundreds of devotees from Andhra Pradesh into the shining presence of Sri Ramana Maharishi. In 1979, he founded Sri Ramana Kendram in Hyderabad and continued to nurture it until his final day in January of 1998. The following is an extract from Dr. K. Subramanian, 1928-1998, a tribute, a book published by the Hyderabad Kendram in his memory. Dr. K. Subramanian relates in his own words about his early years and how he was naturally drawn to the Maharishi, and also some anecdotes from his uncle's life. Coming into the Ramana fold. Presentation Convent, the school that my father worked for, used to prepare children for taking the Cambridge University examination. The school was run by Irish nuns, and almost all the children were European girls. My father was the only male teacher for a number of years. In the 50s, one more male teacher was appointed to teach Hindi. As the winter vacation was during December, Jan every year, my parents would go from Kodaikanal to Thiruvannamalai to attend the Jayanti function. My father used to take English vegetables grown in Kodaikanal to the ashram for the Jayanti celebrations. After attending the Jayanti, my parents would go to my father's village, Mel Vayalamur, which is about 20 miles from Thiruvannamalai. I was taken to Sri Bhagavan when I was 2 years old. My two younger sisters and I used to be taken almost every year to Sri Ramanashramam for the Jayanti celebrations. In our case, we could say we were seen by Sri Bhagavan first. We were conscious of seeing him much later. My uncle, who looked after our lands in Mel Vayalamur, was also great devotee of Sri Bhagavan and Nayana Kavikanta Ganapati Muni. Both in my house and in my uncle's house, there was always a picture of Sri Bhagavan in the puja room. If not every day, almost every week, there used to be some discussion or the other about the life and teachings of Sri Bhagavan. From childhood, I was brought up in a Bhagavan-charged atmosphere. Vishwanatha Swami visited our house and stayed with us for several days together on numerous occasions. Later, when I was teaching at Madras Christian College, he stayed with me a couple of times. He used to spend much of his time talking about the glory and grandeur of Sri Bhagavan and Nayana. He taught us a number of devotional songs. He had a melodious voice and could sing beautifully. Hearing from my father, uncle, and Vishwanatha Swami that Sri Bhagavan used to read the letters written by devotees to him, as a boy, I used to write to him occasionally, seeking his blessings. As there was no high school in Kodaikanal, my father sent me to study at Sir P.S. Sivaswamy Iyer High School, Tirukattupalli. I studied there for 4 years between 1941-1945, from third form to sixth form, and stayed in the hostel attached to it. Talking to Sri Bhagavan, in 1941, I was taken by my uncle to Sri Ramanashramam. We had bought some mangoes, and my uncle said that I should put them on the small stool near Sri Bhagavan's sofa. I went into the old meditation hall along with my uncle and put the mangoes on the floor and prostrated before Sri Bhagavan and sat near the window that now overlooks Sri Bhagavan's Samadhi. My uncle sat next to me. When I was looking at Sri Bhagavan asked my uncle, "Who is this?" My uncle said, "He is my brother's son. He is studying in third form." Then Sri Bhagavan said, turning to me, "So, you are the person writing letters to me?" I had a strange feeling of awe, coupled with great joy. I said in a low voice, "Yes." Sri Bhagavan said, "Does your father send money to you so that you can write letters to me?" and laughed. I wasn't quite sure whether Sri Bhagavan was being sarcastic or made the remark in a light vein. I sweated for a while, continuing to look at him. As it was early in the morning, there were only two or three devotees in the hall. When we came out of the hall, after some time, my uncle, who had been a frequent visitor to the ashram for several years, said, "You must consider yourself very lucky. Sri Bhagavan usually does not ask, 'Who is he?' It is a rare thing." Observing Sri Bhagavan, till 1950, I used to visit the ashram a couple of times every year. The frequency, however, increased between 1948 and 1950. I attended the Kumbhabhishekam of the Matrubuddheshwara temple. It was an elaborate, solemn affair. After the Kumbhabhishekam was performed, in the evening, arati was offered to the deity in the temple and was brought to Sri Bhagavan by Chinnaswamy, Vishwanatha Swami and President Venkataraman. I was sitting very close to Sri Bhagavan in the meditation hall attached to the temple. It was a moving sight when Sri Bhagavan extended his hands and touched the arati with great reverence, closing his eyes. Soon after each operation was performed on Sri Bhagavan's cancer, I used to visit him. Sometimes I used to cry uncontrollably, looking at Sri Bhagavan from a distance. As far as Sri Bhagavan was concerned, he was ever the same serene, blissful self. He behaved as if the cancer belonged to somebody else. The last time I saw Sri Bhagavan was on 7th of April 1950, exactly 1 week before his Nirvana. When I heard the news of Sri Bhagavan's Nirvana at Kodaikanal on 14th of April 1950, I did not break down, nor did I feel depressed. I felt a peace that was totally unexpected. Vishwanatha Swami, whom I met a month later, also said that he enjoyed an indescribable peace at the time of Sri Bhagavan's Nirvana. He was one of the few who were inside the room at the time Sri Bhagavan merged with Arunachala. I was taken to Sri Bhagavan as a small boy and I visited him many times later on, but I never put even a single question to him. I listened to others asking questions and Sri Bhagavan's replies to them, but I never felt inclined to ask a question even once. The only thing I used to do was to sit close to him and take leave of him after prostrating to him. Most often, he would nod his head or say in Tamil, "Sari, sari, okay, okay." Occasionally, I used to think that it would be good to read Sri Bhagavan's works in his presence. I tried a couple of times, but I could not read anything in his presence. I was either looking at him or meditating. Close encounters with Sri Bhagavan. Sometime in 1949, when Sri Bhagavan was still in the meditation hall, I sat at the entrance looking at Sri Bhagwan from outside. His shoulder was bandaged because of cancer. I thought to myself, I have been coming to the ashram so often, but I have had no experience of real meditation. Sri Bhagwan has not granted me this experience. Thinking along these lines, I kept looking at Sri Bhagwan for a considerable time and then closed my eyes. I do not know how long I was in that state. When I opened my eyes, I found that the meditation hall was empty. Sri Bhagwan was not there on the stone couch in the meditation hall. Sri Bhagwan and the devotees must have gone past me as I was sitting at the entrance. When I realized that I had been sitting when Sri Bhagwan went past me, I was horrified. I felt how disrespectful I was. But suddenly, I realized that Sri Bhagwan, out of his unbounded grace, granted me an experience whereby I was completely oblivious of my surroundings. Even today, I am unhappy that I did not get up when Sri Bhagwan and his devotees went past me. Sri Bhagwan gives us rare experiences when we least expect them. On another occasion, when I was an 18-year-old student, around noon or so, I was walking towards the meditation hall. The new meditation hall was not there then. The whole place was an open ground. I was thinking of something and walking with my head down. When I neared the well, I looked up and saw Sri Bhagwan standing at a short distance and talking to a devotee. I was taken unawares as I did not expect Sri Bhagwan to be there. Sri Bhagwan, who was talking to the other person, looked at me sideways. I stood still as I did not want to disturb Sri Bhagwan in any way. When he looked at me that way, I felt a powerful light penetrate me and engulf me. I experienced a bliss that I had not experienced before. I was in that state for about 20 days. My uncle V.S. Srinivas Iyer did his intermediate at Urhis College, Vellore, and became village munsif of Vailamur village and worked in that capacity for over 40 years. He saw Sri Bhagwan even as a student. In the early days, there used to be very few visitors to the ashram, which was then just a thatched shed. Before he met Sri Bhagwan, my uncle had come under the influence of Kavyakanta and had taken Upadesha from him. This fact is mentioned in the Sanskrit biography of Kavyakanta, Vasishta Vaibhavam, written by Kapali Sastri. The first question that my uncle put to Sri Bhagwan as a young man was, is it true that Ravana had 10 heads? Sri Bhagwan replied, how does it help you to know whether he had 10 heads or not? My uncle said, Nayana says it is all false. Sri Bhagwan replied, Nayana has studied a lot and has come to certain conclusions. What do I know? On another occasion, my uncle asked Sri Bhagwan when he was going round the hill, Bhagwan, Nayana did tapas for the freedom of this country. Do you think we will get freedom? Sri Bhagwan said, why do you ask me? Am I an astrologer? After some time, Sri Bhagwan turned to my uncle and said, why do you worry? There is a supreme power which carries the whole burden. Our job is to do our work and submit to it. Once an ashram deer was attacked by some animal and the wounds turned from bad to worse. Sri Bhagwan sat near the deer and held its face in his hands, looking at its tearful eyes. Sri Bhagwan sat like that for a couple of hours. Chinnaswamy asked my uncle, who was standing close to look after the deer and relieve Sri Bhagwan. Sri Bhagwan heard this but did not make any response. Sri Bhagwan sat there till the deer breathed its last. That was the compassion that Sri Bhagwan had for that deer. Soon after, Sri Bhagwan went to the hall. There is a samadhi for the deer in the ashram. When the Matrubudeshwara temple was being constructed, Sri Bhagwan used to help the construction workers by lifting the bricks and offering them to the mason. When my uncle saw Sri Bhagwan doing this type of work, he was astonished. Sri Bhagwan said to my uncle, "I am doing construction work.